to shut us down, down. Gonna be hard to shut us down, down, down. Down, down. Gonna be hard to shut us down, down, down.
Welcome to the Sound of Faith radio broadcast, heard every weekday at 12:45. Right here on the Kingdom Keys Network. So glad you tuned in today, because this week is a special set of broadcasts that I'm going to bring you all week long. You don't want to miss it. Damon Thompson is a preacher affiliated with Karen Wheaton Ministries. You can go to theramp.org for more information on his ministry and Karen Wheaton's ministry. You will be blessed by staying tuned right here. I promise you, it is not hype. It is reality. Listen to this message about Jonah.
Remember Samson? Went out as he had many times before and shook himself. And some of the saddest words in the Bible, he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He'd been playing games with disobedience. But heretofore, there had been no penalty for the game. But at some point, the game stopped being a game. And it cost him his eyes. And he shook himself and there was no presence. He shook himself and there was no power. And at some point you can be jumping up and down and raising your hands and wearing a matching t-shirt from your youth group and don't even realize that your disobedience has not cost you church attendance. It's cost you something 10,000 times more valuable than church attendance. It cost you presence. That's why when David gets in trouble with God through his disobedience, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew in me a right spirit," watch this, "and cast me not away from your presence." You don't get to stay in disobedience and still have presence. That's why you could only go so far tonight. If we'd have kept the songs up, you could have stayed engaged. If we would have continued to supply energy, you would have been fine. If we would have continued to supply emotion, you'd still be going. But the moment that we start to bring the music down, and it's not even about the music anymore, and we start to sing the same line over and over again, and you can't just join along and sing along, and you have to really engage, and you have to really loose your heart, and you have to really focus on his face, then all of a sudden, the dividing line becomes the people who have lived a lifestyle of obedience that qualifies them for presence, and the people who are living in disobedience that are not allowed to have presence. You can have music, but you can't have presence. You can be in a crowd, but you can't have presence. You can be in here with 1,300 other people and be the loneliest person in this building, because the thing that you were built to do in this life is live in his presence. Not each other's presence. The presence of individuals is not fulfilling unless the presence of individuals is a consequence of a mutual commitment to his presence. Oh, I'm going to run now. Ah, stop, I feel. See, I don't have anything in common with anybody that comes from the same town, likes the same sports, has the same hobbies, wears the same type of... We have nothing in common if we don't have presence in common. But if you have presence in common, then it doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came from. It doesn't matter what your ethnic persuasion is. It doesn't matter your socioeconomic condition. It doesn't matter what kind of school you went to, what kind of hobbies you like, what kind of clothes you wear, or what kind of music you listen to. Me and you have something in common that is way more valuable than wardrobe. It's presence. And the deeper I go in this, the less toleration I have for anything else. I am so, and I'm not trying not to go down this road, Joe, but I am so currently nauseated by the entertainment I see in the church. It is bringing me to the point, listen, of virtual vomit. I am sick of it because I want presence. I don't want to come in and be moved by you. I want to come in and be moved by him. I don't want to come in and say, "Wow, she can sing, and what an incredible drama, and good job with the cantata and the singing Christmas tree. Awesome foyer, great lobby, beautiful nursery, excellent coffee. Wonderful, the service was plenty short for me. I want to come in." Oh, hallelujah. "And realize where two or more are gathered together in his name, There he is in the midst of them. I want to be able to swing my leg out of the car and feel his glory when I'm in the parking lot. I want to put my hand on the doorknob and the Spirit of the living God awakens something on the inside of me. I don't want to go to church and get entertained. I want to weep. I want to change. I want to repent. I want his glory. If I got to sit in the floor for that, okay. And if the worship's got to last 2 hours, okay. And if we sing the same song over and over again, okay. And if my friends think I've joined a cult, okay. And if they think I lost my mind, okay. And if I don't have time to waste my life with cheerleading, okay, okay, okay. But I got a feeling. What's a $60,000 car if he doesn't ride with you? What's a 10,000 square foot house if he doesn't meet you in the kitchen, meet you in the bedroom, meet you in the shower, and meet you in the hallway? What's a $150,000 year job if you can't sit at your desk and the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead quicken your mortal body? What are you living for? All that matters is his presence. I got to move on. Come on, let's go. Let's go. You can do energy, you can do excitement, you can do an emotion, but you can't do presence and disobedience. Hallelujah. Ooh, I feel him here, man, I'm telling you. Presence is the only thing in this life worth having. It's better than success, fame, money, accomplishment, houses, cars, clothes, a cool boyfriend, a touchdown, huh? A home run in the bottom of the ninth. A 4.0. Oh, hallelujah. A Rhodes Scholar. Because I'd still rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd still rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd still rather have Jesus than anything this world affords to give. Than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. Disobedience is dangerous, not just because it will cause you problems, and it will. But the real problem with disobedience is not that your girlfriend might get pregnant. That is a problem. The real problem with disobedience is not that you might overdose, because aren't you far too smart to go that far down? Your sin management is way too advanced for you to end up with AIDS, because you're careful, but condoms break. You don't understand. It's just a little bit of pornography. I would never actually become a pervert. Ask the serial killer that started with a little bit of pornography and a confidence in his ability to manage his own sin. I'm telling you, disobedience is a slippery slope that will remove you from the presence of the Lord. And if you don't have his presence, you're in danger of casting off all restraint and living with your conscience seared as with a hot iron and turned over to a reprobate mind. Listen, it can happen to you. This is not a game. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, get this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We teach a law in theology called reciprocity. Reciprocity, where we get the word reciprocal or reciprocate. Inside of the law of reciprocity is something we go on to teach called the concept of inversions. The concept of inversion says, you didn't know you'll get theology tonight, did you? The concept of inversion says if anything is true to one extreme, it must then again maintain the same level of truth in reverse. My verse that I always use to describe this is the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right to a man, the end thereof is death. If that is true, it has to be true that there's a way that seemeth wrong to a man, the end thereof is life. So for it to be true in the way it was released, it must maintain that truth when it is inverted and moved in the other direction. If it is true that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, it must then be true that where the Spirit of the Lord is not, there is not liberty. If you are not living the life under the government of the dove, if you're not living your life under the government of Holy Spirit, if you're not living your life under the government of the presence of the Lord, then anything you are calling freedom is really just a farce, and it is no freedom at all. Real freedom does not come as a consequence of your activity or your accomplishments or your friends or your popularity. Real freedom comes when the Holy Spirit has such control over your life, He can do with you whatever He wants. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I want you to look at verse 4, and I'm going to start trying to move this in another direction. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 again. Jonah's in disobedience. He's moving downward. The Bible shows us grace in verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Who sent the storm? We can't even do that in modern theology. Hallelujah. We can't say that the Lord can send the great wind that causes the storm that almost breaks up the boat. And I'm thankful that I'm saved, and I'm thankful that I'm delivered, and I'm thankful that I'm healed, and I'm thankful that I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I'm thankful that I have an awesome family, an incredible wife, and great children, and enough money in the bank to take care of them. I'm thankful for all that because God did all that. But I'm also thankful that when I was in disobedience, God loved me enough not to leave my boat alone as if I was going to... I'm glad He sent the wind. I'm glad God roughed up the water. I'm glad God... Because if I would have liked it, I would have stayed. If it would have been comfortable, I would have stayed. I thank Him for the nausea. I feel Him all over me tonight. I'm telling you, man, I feel Him. I'm thankful that when I wanted to click on the website, I felt a little bit of throw up. Y'all don't know nothing about that, do you? I'm thankful for the pit in my stomach. I'm thankful for the fear of the Lord that was instilled into me that said, boy, don't you cross that line. You know better. I'm glad for my mama's voice in my ear. I'm glad for praying people that lived right, raising me in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I thank God for the wind that made the boat rock, that kept me from going all the way down to the bottom.
For more information about partnering with Karen Wheat Ministries in the Ramp, please visit our website, theramp.org. Together, we can awaken a generation.
You're listening to the Sound of Faith radio broadcast. I'm featuring this week a sermon from Damon Thompson. He's affiliated with the Ramp Ministries. That's Karen Wheaton's ministry. You can go to theramp.org to find more information about that. For more information about this show, or if you want to listen to a show you've missed or download one to your computer, it's simple. Go to kingdomkeysradio.org/soundoffaith. That's kingdomkeysradio.org/soundoffaith. Now, I want to thank Hair by Cheyenne for support of this ministry.
Hi, I'm Cheyenne Charter. It is my desire to serve the Lord with my gifts, talents, and abilities. I do not consider this to be just a job, but an opportunity to share the truth of the gospel message. I specialize in haircuts, color, perms, or the look for that special occasion. My phone number is 806-335-5031. By appointment only.
I'm almost out of time today, but before I go, I want to remind you of something. If you won't give up in your walk with God, there's nothing and there's no one that can stop you or shut you down. God.